position you kind of see as being the strength and maybe the weakness?
I don't really look at drafts like that. I look at drafts as, we're trying to find seven good players for the Giants, and we think there will be seven good players. So I'm not sure if there's great receivers or great running backs or great linemen. I just think there will be seven good players for us. No, just business as usual, I think, Pat. It gave us more time with respect to free agency, the free agency period. And, we had a lot of work to do in free agency. So we worked hard in free agency. And after that, actually I liked a couple of weeks extra time to get ready for the draft. Really doesn't have a lot of effect on it. The draft is what it is, stands alone. We try to take the best players we can in a draft, and in free agency you try to fill some holes with free agency, but in the draft you just try to pick the best players. That's what we try to do.
With the extra time in between, were you able to get out on the road a little bit more?
I went to a few pro day workouts. You never get to go as many as you want to go to, but I went to a few. Yeah.
Jerry, there's a lot of talk that this is one of the strongest drafts just overall in years. Do you think that's true, not specifically by position, but just in general?
Not really. I think all drafts are, have good players in them. So, you just have to, be able to pick them.
Jerry, one of the things John said at the end of last year was that he thought there were maybe too many risks in drafts.
Well, you try to limit what risk you take, but any time you pick a player, there's a risk. There's been players who can't miss players, and people have missed drastically with players. We try to get more right than we get wrong, but nobody's batting 1,000 in picking personnel.
Do you self-evaluate past drafts and say we have to do this differently or this
work? Well, we always take it hard when guys don't make it that we think are going to be good picks for us. It's always hard for you, but it happens. We claim it and we move on and try to pick better players as we move forward.
Does your risk tolerance just naturally sort of go up as you go farther in the draft? I guess, are you more likely to take a risk later than, say, on a first-round pick?
Yeah, you try to pick the cleanest guy possible in your first few rows, but, you get later in the draft, guys have some warts on him some kind of way with respect to injury or maybe some off-field issues. You feel like you can take a risk on some guys, like some talented players with some risk, in the latter part of the draft. You try to limit your risk with the first part of your draft.
Who are some players that fit into that category for you through the years?
Amai Bradshaw, I think it was well documented, some issues that he had, for us to take him, I think we took him in the seventh round. Actually, I think we took him 7B. I'm not sure what it was. But there were some off-field, some checkered background stuff with him. But at that point in the draft, it was worth the risk for us.
How do you assess the state of your offensive line right now going into this draft? It was a major issue, obviously, last year.
Well, we think we've upgraded us in some places, and obviously we'll continue to look and see if there's more players available. But we feel like we've upgraded some spots and got a little bit younger in some spots there.
Jerry, given the depth of this draft, do you anticipate there might be a little bit more movement, especially in the first, second round, for teams to get up and down and whatnot?
Patty, you never know in a draft. It's always, it could be some movement, it could be no movement. You never know what's going to happen. You just try to prepare for everything, but you never know what'll happen.
Does the 11th and 12th pick, those kind of picks, hold a little more value? You think the teams with the fifth-year option being, sort of the cutoff right there?
You never know. You never know. You're being too smart, Jordan. You never know. I don't know.
Jerry, you said in the past that you try to marry, your draft board and need. Having said that, how can you say that what you did in free agency does not at all affect what you're going to do in the draft?
Again, the draft stands alone. You just try to pick the best players available in the draft. I don't know how else I can say that to you, Paul. We just, the draft stands alone. it's not going to free agency. What we did in free agency really doesn't affect what we do in the draft. We just try to go in there and say, who's the best player up there in the first row for us that, when it's our time to pick? And we try to pick that guy. We do like to get value and need. We like a combination of those things, but it doesn't have anything to do with free agency.
I mean, you felt that you addressed some needs and some holes in free agency, correct?
We do.
So does that give you more, I mean, freedom's not the right word, but that you can be even more pure in your intentions in the draft and just say, this is the best guy, we'll take him, and not, well, this is the best guy, but we have a really glaring need here?
Yeah, best player available, draft stands alone, and we'll try to pick that guy.
Jerry, you're obviously more in tune to McAdoo's offense and what it's going to be than we are. Does he need a playmaking tight end?
Well, everybody needs a playmaking tight end. You know, I think, you know, all offense, you want a playmaker at every position if you can, you know. So I'm not sure what you're asking me when you say that. You know, I think, you know, every team's wants a Pro Bowl style tight end. They want a Pro Bowl, a couple of Pro Bowl wide receivers, want a Pro Bowl running back, you know. So, sure, he'd like a big strapping tight end, sure.
I'm sure he would. Is his system reliant on it?
Well, you know, we have a couple of young tight ends that it's time for those guys to develop and play. And obviously, we'll continue to look as we move forward. But, we want to get good players at every position, yeah.
Any level of concern with Eli? And looking ahead, do you see him as having a good number of years of elite play in him?
I think so. You know, he obviously he's coming off the ankle injury, and he's going to be out of spring ball. But Eli is a smart guy. I think he's driven to prove that, you know, last year was just just an odd year for him. And I think that last year was an odd year for him. And I believe he'll bounce back and have a terrific season.
When you say out of spring ball, the plan is for him not to do anything with the team.
Well, he'll be back when he gets back, but we're not going to rush him back. And we want him for the summer. We know he'll be back in the summer, so that's important to us to have him back in the summer. But if he can do something in the spring, we'll be happy to see him out there. But we're not going to rush him back.
Back to McAdoo in the new offense for a second. Has anything about that changed the way you evaluate offensive players, not just for the draft but overall?
Not really. We're going to try to pick the best players, regardless who the coordinator is, who the head coach is, who the D coordinator. We're going to try to pick the best players.
Jerry, last year, no running backs went in the first round, and there's some thought none would go in the first round this year. Has that position been devalued in the draft in any way? Not only in your mind, but do you think just because that's happened?
I'm not sure why you said no running back was taken in the first round last year, and they're projecting none to go in this round. I mean, this draft. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I think you have to have a good running back up in this league to play and win games. I'm not sure why they haven't gone. People may believe that you can get a good running back later on in the draft. Maybe that's why they're not taking them as early as you've seen in the past. But,
when you go into this draft, what's your thoughts on if you're going to have David Wilson available this year?
Well, obviously, if we have that, that gives us more depth at the position. You know, Jennings, we were all Jennings in, and we had Michael Cox from last year, who we're hoping is developing. And but, you know, David Wilson, you know, he's really a kind of a bonus for us if we can get him back, and we expect him back. You know, he's on schedule to be back, and we're very hopeful that he will.
Do you expect to know before the draft, though? Is it something that you're hopeful maybe you'll even know?
Yeah, well, it's not going to affect the draft regardless. So if he's back or not before the draft, it's not going to affect us how we pick. If there's a good running back, you know, at some point we think it can help us, we'll pick him.
Historically, this team has relied on the tight end quite a bit. Would you be comfortable moving forward with the guys you have on the roster right now?
Historically, we've relied on our tight end. Really?
I seem to remember tight ends catching important passes, yes.
Yeah, well, we think we got some tight ends who can catch some important passes, but prominent role. We want all of our positions to be prominent roles. I'm not sure if we had, you know, our tight ends had prominent roles in the past. But, you know, we want a competent tight end. We think we got a couple of young tight ends who been here for a couple of years that we want to develop, and we'll continue to look as we move forward. And was the question, was would I move up for a tight end in a draft? Is that what you said? Okay, I'm sorry.
Has what you look for in a tight end changed? The position seems to be changing a little bit. Guys are spread out wide and more used kind of in the slot, or you know, the rules kind of favor them with regards to, you know, being able to make contact with them. And there's a lot of, seems to be bigger, more athletic guys at that position.
Well, everybody wants big, fast tight ends who can block and catch balls. You know, it's the same thing all over the league. Everybody wants those guys. Sometimes you can get a smaller guy who, I guess they coined them as H-backs kind of guys, receiving tight ends. But we like guys who are big and fast and can block and can catch at that position.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Victor Cruz the other day, I realize he doesn't sit in on your draft meetings, but he said the other day that we really need a big outside wide receiver here. When a prominent player expresses a feeling that this is what you need, does that have any influence on your thoughts at all?
Zero.
Do you agree with his assessment?
Everybody's got an opinion, man.
Jerry, how tough is it when you have like second and third round picks in your system to, you know, to marry that combination of you want them to groom them as quickly as possible for starting roles, but you know, the pressure to get them on the field and then also develop them for those second and third.
Well, your first, I've said this a lot of times to you guys. You know, your first three picks, you want to get, you know, some guys who can come in and contribute right away, and you probably can get a couple of starters out of your first three picks, and you know, after that, you know, those middle rounds and latter rounds, most kids are developing, you know, actually sometimes in the second round, in first and second round, some of the kids you draft are developmental, but after you get to after the first couple of rounds, you get into those fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, most of the kids are developmental.
Obviously, where you pick who's going to be available, a lot of it could be decided by how many quarterbacks are taken before you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that? How many do you think possibly could be taken, you know, in that range from 1 to 11? And how much do you kind of gauge that in order to go forward and know, kind of guess who's going to be available?
Well, I have no idea what's going on in other people's draft rooms or draft boards right now, so you have no clue. You know, we have a chart of what we think people's needs are, but that doesn't mean they'll take the quarterbacks early. You know, who knows what'll happen? There are some teams that look like need some quarterbacks, but, you know, are the quarterbacks good enough to take them that early in the draft? You know, who knows?
When you're out at other pro days, do you find yourself curious, though? Do you look at some of the quarterbacks in person?
Absolutely. Look, when I go to pro days, look at everybody there. You know, it's not that I'm just going to see one person. We look at everybody when we go to the pro days.
Jerry, what do you gain from going? When you go to a pro day, mm-hmm. and you see a guy who's performing who's expected to go a lot higher than where you pick, what can you gain from evaluating that player? Is it something that, you know, 3 years down the line, 2 years down the line, you can go back to those notes that you took then? Or is it just keeping all options open?
Well, it's just a confirmation to go to the pro days and see guys perform and do different things you might not have seen them do at the combine. Sometimes you go to pro days because a guy didn't work at the combine, so you just try to go to confirm some things that you saw on the tape or you saw in a game, or just confirm some of the things that your scouts saw.
Jerry, after supplementing your defensive secondary in free agency, but now with Will Hill's apparent situation, does that change that you might, you know, target a safety in the draft, whereas you might have been less likely before?
Not really, Kim. I mean, there's a good safety up there, you know, we're not afraid to pick another safety. If there's a good safety on the board at some point when it's time for us to pick, the Will Hill situation, that, you know, there's an appeal process, and we'll respect that process as it plays out, and we'll make the decisions after that, after we see what the appeal process is.
Does his future here depend on whether there's a...
We'll just respect, Ralph, all I can say about that, we'll respect the appeal process, and we'll make a decision after that.
Jerry, when you pick 12th, mm-hmm. which you guys haven't picked that high in a while, it seems, do you say to yourself, whoever we pick day one is a starter for us because of where we're picking him, and if he's the 12th best player in what everyone believes to be a pretty strong draft, he should be able to step in immediately.
Again, you would like to think that the 12th pick would be a player that can come in and contribute right away, but nobody, you have to earn your positions here. We don't give guys positions. We don't draft you in the first round and say, okay, this is your position. You have to come in and earn your spot just like everybody. I think that's how teams grow and get better and create competition. So, but you pick a guy at 12, you expect him to come in and make some contributions right away.
What then, Jerry, some of your right here, some of your middle to late round picks have been, you know, panned out in recent drafts. Have you examined that and have you maybe made any changes in how you guys are approaching those?
Well, there's different reason why guys don't make. Sometimes you just miss on guys, and we've done that. Sometimes there's been injuries why guys didn't pan out. And some of the guys have panned out. Again, it's personnel, and there's nobody batting 1,000 in personnel. And we sure want to do better than what we've done in the past, in the last few drafts with the middle and late round picks.
Do you feel like the combine might have become too regimented over the years? I mean, guys know all the drills now and can mm-hmm. train for them specifically. Maybe that's less of a natural way to see players. I mean, I know you trust a lot of tape, but would you like to see maybe some more different drills, some surprise drills at combine?
Well, when you go to pro days, some of those drills are different when you go to pro days. You know, there are pretty scripted, we call them gym drills at the combine. And guys, most guys can perform well on them because they practice on them a lot. And still some guys, regardless of how much they practice, they can't do them that well. But it really all comes down to what guys do, how productive they are for their team, and how they play for their team. That's what's most important to us. You know, the combine is just part of the puzzle, but what's most important for us is how guys play for their team.
Jerry, in terms of this new calendar, what's going to happen when you pick these guys? They're just going to come right in and be dropped into the offseason program?
Yeah, they got to get in here right away and start working, start learn how to be a pro and get going.
How important is versatility to you when you look at a lineman? Does that really factor into the equation much, or would you just, if a guy plays one spot, he's just as valuable as a guy who maybe can play two different spots?
I think we like guys who are versatile players. You know, if a guy can play guard and tackle, but we're not going to pass up a left tackle who we think is only a left tackle because he can't play guard or center or a different position. But the more you can do in this league, the better off you are. You may save yourself a roster spot if you get a guy that can swing from guard to tackle or from center to guard or something like that.
What did Jerry? What was your thinking on bringing in Freeman? Are you unhappy or uncomfortable with the number two position at quarterback?
No, you know, there's competition at the number two spot, and obviously Eli has the ankle, and we wanted to have more competition in the spring, and we think Josh is a talented player, and we wanted to create some competition. We like Nassib, but, you know, he hadn't really had a chance to do a lot for us, so we're going to take a real good look at him in the spring. But we think he's still, you know, a good player. He hadn't had a chance to really play yet. So he's going to get a lot of work this spring, and obviously he'll get a lot of work in the preseason. And along with Curtis Painter, there's competition, and Josh Freeman. And, you know, Curtis just had the knee scope, so we brought in another quarterback.
Are you determined to keep Ryan to give him a shot this spring, or would you listen to trade offers for him if they came during the draft?
We keep all our options open.
Does anything change for him, though? You guys are changing offense. This is going to be a different offense. And different things are going to be asked from your quarterbacks. Do what you look for from your quarterback kind of change with what you guys are going to be doing?
But we expect him to compete for the number two spot. Right? So I don't think there's any changes with respect to him, but we expect him to compete for that number two spot.
Jerry, I'm sure over the years different coaches have taken different tacks in terms of lobbying for a guy they want. With McAdoo, who at least I don't know at all, do you have a feel yet for on draft day, draft weekend, how aggressive he'll be in saying, this is the guy I need for my system, we need for our system?
All coaches want a guy. You know, in the draft room, all coaches want a guy at their position. Defensive coordinators want defensive players. Offensive coordinator want offensive players. But I think all our coaches are team guys, and, whoever we pick, they're all on board, and it's a team process.
Forgive me for crossing the boundary into specifics, but with Zach Martin, do you see him as a guard or a tackle? I've seen him.
I just see him as a good offensive lineman. That's how I see him. I think he has some flexibility to play both, but I just see him as a good offensive lineman.
Can he play center, do you think?
I'm not sure. I don't think he's ever played that position for Notre Dame, but it probably could be a possibility that he could play center, yeah.
Do you think that there's a reason, do you think, first off, that cornerbacks have a harder time transitioning from college to the NFL, and is there a reason why that maybe it takes them a year or two longer?
Did you say cornerbacks or quarterbacks?
Cornerbacks.
So ask the question again, please.
Do you feel like they have a harder time maybe transitioning than some other positions from college to the NFL, and is there a reason for that?
Well, I don't know if it's harder than any other position, but the two hardest positions for me in the National Football League, number one is quarterback, and the number two is cornerback. Those two are the two hardest positions, I think, to play in the National Football League. So it's a tough position to play. Everybody else is, you know, running forward and you're running backwards. That's not easy.
Jerry, for a team that hypothetically could use an outside receiver and also a pass-catching tight end, could the kid out of North Carolina be that hybrid? I don't want to use a Jimmy Graham comparison, but if he can be a threat, not the conventional tight end, but a threat like that, would you evaluate him differently where you're picking than you would, say, a tight end that didn't bring those playmaking capabilities?
No, there's good tight ends in the draft, Kim. So we're going to evaluate them all the same. And if somebody's up there, you know, for us to pick, if it's a tight end, if it's a receiver, we can use a good player at any position.
You exercised the option on Prince for the fifth year.
Yeah, we did.
What was the thinking behind that?
Well, we think he's a good player, and so we exercised the option.
At the center position, you signed J.D. Walton. You lost a couple guys. Do you have enough, right, you think, right now, or do you need to add another guy, whether it be in the draft or another avenue?
We always want to have depth at every position, and we'll continue to look at depth at every position.
Who do you consider here as other guys that could play the position? Do you have, you know, behind J.D. Wong?
Dallas Reynolds is a center, and there's some more guys. Sneak can even play center if you wanted him to play there. He takes snaps in there at practice at times. So we'll continue to get depth at every position.
Jerry, the tackle from Michigan has had some issues off the field. Is he would he be discounted from that, or do you judge him without that?
We're going to keep all our options open with respect to all the players in the draft.
Jerry, there's obviously, when you talk about red flags and character stuff, there's various degrees of that. So when you're evaluating a player, is it all just an individual case, or do you have a line somewhere that, you know, a player can't, if he does this, we can't consider him?
Well, there are some lines. We try to keep all of our players on the board, and so we can see them at least. You know, back years ago, we used to take players off the board. We keep players on the board now so we can see them. So if we have this player who have some issues with respect to whatever the situation may be over in our first row, and we're over here in the seventh row, and he's still sitting there, we'll go back to this guy and say, like, why can't we take this guy? What's the risk at this point? Why can't we take this guy at this point?
So there's, I mean, obviously anything could happen, but there's no player where you say there's no way we wouldn't touch him for.
There are a few guys like that, yeah. Go ahead. You know, we brought some offensive linemen in. The kid from New Orleans that we brought in, he played a lot of football there. Right now he's probably the next option behind Will, but you could even move the Pew over there if you wanted to. Brewer is a kid that has talent to play out there if we had to play him out there, but. Again, we have work to do still in the offensive line. We brought some offensive linemen in, but we're still going to try to get good players in the offensive line, the defensive line, linebackers. Every position, you know, can be upgraded more for us.
How seriously are you thinking about moving Pew over?
We're just keeping all our options open. You know, again, Pew's one of those guys can play all over your front. So you like the flexibility he brings. So go ahead, Art. You've been trying to say something for about.
Sorry, all right.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, in terms of where Chris Snee is, does the true evaluation to find out how much he can contribute have to take place later on in the spring and even the summer once he gets out on the field? Or do you have a pretty good idea of what he's going to be able to give you guys?
Well, you never know when a guy coming off injuries like he's had in the last couple of years. You know, Chris would probably be the best judge of that from anybody. I think Chris would be honest with us, and if he feels like he can't do it, he'll definitely let us know. But he's feeling really good right now, and hopefully, you know, he'll continue to feel good, and he'll be back for another year to help us out.
Jerry, the draft is obviously a lot of work for quite a long time. Is it fun for you, and which parts of it might be the most fun, or what's the most energizing part?
Well, it's always fun. You know, it's like game day. I've said this to you guys, you know, a few times. It's game day for our scouts. You know, our scouts are the guys who go out and really do the legwork for us and find players. And they're on the road for around 200 days out of the year. And, you know, it's game day for them to go in there and do this work and find the players and help put our draft board up and get all the information that we need on the players. It's fun to see them rewarded, you know, with players that they feel like are good players for us, and we get a chance to win championships. And again, I said this, you know, to some people a few days ago. You know, they were asking me about scouts, and you know, scouts, you never see any of the scouts on the podium at the Super Bowl. You know, you never see any scouts up there holding a trophy, but they're really kind of the lifeline of what we do. So I have a lot of respect for our scouts and what they bring to the table for us.
There's a lot of talk about Johnny Manziel, obviously. It's a big name in the draft. How unique a guy. I mean, he plays differently than most quarterbacks with, you know, his style. How difficult has a guy like that sort of been to evaluate for you guys?
Well, you know, the landscape is changing a little bit with respect to those kind of guys coming into the league, and you see it all over the league. You know, more and more of the spread offense. It's really pretty much all you see in college football these days. There's a few teams still run traditional pro style offenses, but most of them are the spread read kind of offenses. So you're starting to see these guys come into the league, and if you commit to that system, you know, obviously you can win with it.
How do you feel right now about your defensive line? A couple key contributors, Joseph and Tuck, going last
year. Yeah, well, we have guys who need to step up. We brought in some defensive linemen with free agency. We have some guys from last year, Jenkins. We have Hankins that we from last year. We have Coon coming back from the knee injury. So we have some defensive linemen. Jason Pierre-Paul is coming back from his injury. So we have guys that we like, DeMontre Moore. Our defensive line, we want to upgrade everywhere, and we'll try to upgrade our defensive line as we move forward as well.
How important is size and weight in there? That's on the interior of the line, and there's a lot of talk about Aaron Donald. He's, you know, his production sort of pops out, but at the same time, he's a little on the lighter side for a usual defensive tackle. How do you guys look at that in regards to weight and size for defensive tackles, and how important is that on the scale for you guys?
Well, it's important, but making plays is important as well. So it's a combination. We like guys who can make plays. We like big guys. We like fast guys. We like smart guys. We like tough guys. That's what we like.